Hi, folks. I'm Drew Carey. As you know, I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. I love Cleveland, Ohio. I based my whole career on being from Cleveland, Ohio. And you also might know that Cleveland, Ohio is going through some tough times right now. The economy is in trouble. Schools are in trouble. And people have been leaving the city in droves for a long, long time. And it's not just Cleveland. It's a lot of cities in the country are having the same problems. And I went to the folks at the Reason Foundation, and I said, is there any way we can come up with some ideas to help save Cleveland? And we looked at some best practices at other cities around the country, and we wanted to know if we applied them to Cleveland, would it do any good? The series is called Reason Saves Cleveland. Hope you like it.
Post-war years were a golden age for Cleveland, a city built on a rock-solid foundation of steel mills, heavy manufacturing, and shipping. In 1950, Cleveland was the sixth largest city in the United States with a population of nearly 1 million people. The city's economic strength was mirrored on the playing fields of the NFL and Major League Baseball, as athletic heroes like Bob Feller and Lou the Toe Groza brought championships to Cleveland. In the 1950s, Northeast Ohio appeared to be a place of limitless possibilities.
Almost 2 million people live and work here and recognize this area as the best location in the nation.
So how did the best location in the nation become the mistake on the lake? Cleveland's tale of decline is familiar to all inhabitants of Rust Belt cities. It's a story punctuated by economic downturns, population decline, and social unrest.
It was really like a racially divided city, Cleveland, you ask anybody.
In 1966, racial tensions came to a head, culminating in the Huff race riots. As with Newark and Detroit, the riots created a sense that Cleveland had become ungovernable. In 1969, as the nation began to develop an environmentalist sensibility, the massively polluted Cuyahoga River actually caught fire, providing an iconic and disturbing image of an unlivable urban hellhole.
I went to the beach once downtown, and there was nothing but dead fish all over the beach and stuff, so it was horrible.
In the 1970s, pitched battles about racial desegregation in Cleveland's public schools pitted blacks against whites and liberals against conservatives.
And Charlotte, what was your initial reaction when you found out Todd would have to be bussed away?
Well, I felt that I'd rather go to jail than have him bussed across town.
The busing controversy increased flight from the city and created an even bleaker future for Cleveland's public schools. The bad economy of the 1970s hit Cleveland especially hard, as heavy industry jobs increasingly relocated to the South or outside the United States altogether. And in 1978, under the guidance of boy mayor Dennis Kucinich, Cleveland made history by defaulting on a $15 million loan.
I mean, it was just a national joke. The whole city was.
By 1980, Cleveland had lost a third of its population. And when the city's once great sports franchises weren't slumping, they were breaking the hearts of their fans. An infamous last-minute fumble in the 1988 AFC Championship game seemed to perfectly capture the spirit of a city whose future had slipped through its fingers.
Reaching in to strip that ball away.
Don't worry about it, Ernest. We all still love you.
Despite lavish public spending on things like sports stadiums and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Cleveland in the 21st century remains mired in a 1970s-era funk of double-digit unemployment and population flight. Cleveland has lost more than half of its population since 1950 and routinely ranks as one of the poorest big cities in the United States. More than 10,000 vacant homes in the city act as a constant reminder of Cleveland's economic catastrophe. Is a Cleveland Renaissance possible? Of course it is.
Follow the rainbow.
To get a handle on the kinds of problems Cleveland is facing today, we spoke to Clevelanders from all walks of life. Then we traveled the country looking for innovative ways to fix Cleveland schools, encourage redevelopment, and bring back businesses and people. Join us as we learn how to fix the mistake on the lake and other once great U.S. cities.